Okay, the second Aliyah of Mikes, a very significant step, as are all of these parshios in the history of the Jewish people. Here we have the very important meeting of Paro and Yosef. And here it begins with Paro having been told to call out to Yosef because he has these dreams that are described in the first Aliyah, and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't have any understanding and no one's able to help. So he calls out to Yosef as he brings him up from the boar. So the Yomer Paro will Yosef, Chalom Chalamti, Ufoser Ein Oso. I had this dream and nobody knows what's going on with it. Vani Shamati Alecha Lemur, Tishma Chalom, Ustor Oso. And I've heard about you that you are somebody who can interpret dreams. And it's significant that he says, Tishma Chalom, you're somebody who can hear a dream. And Rav Shem Shmuel Yisrael Hirsch has a comment here where he notes, which we understand from less dramatic context, that many different people can hear the same thing, but they're not necessarily receiving it the same way. And it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to listen. You could really interpret both words the way you want, but the idea is to really understand what's being said to you very much connects to the active component of listening, to the idea that it's not simply what's being said, but it's how you relate to it, and having that awareness and sensitivity is part of what was special about Yosef. So Yosef responds, Vayan Yosef is Paro Lemor, Beladoi, Elohim Yaneh Shlom Paro. So despite the fact that he's a good listener, he emphasizes that it's not me, that this all comes from God. And here it's pointed out in the forum that the tzaddikim are always going to note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of what they do. They join everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Kamenetsky has a drasha about this, how this is really a theme of Hanukkah. So the frequent coincidence of Mikes and Hanukkah highlights this point, that that's a part of the message here, that we have this dramatic victory, and we appreciate that that comes because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance. And that's the way of tzaddikim. That's what Yosef says, that everything that I have is from God. The Viskarav understood that there's an additional meaning here. It doesn't just mean God helping like he does with everything, but he's saying that this comes from a Nevuah, that his interpretation and understanding of the dreams is a function of his prophecy. And the Sefer Olam Moshe, he discusses this point, that normally we understand that Nevuah doesn't happen outside of Eretz Yisrael. And if it would, certainly not in a place that is the center of a Vodazara, like Mitzrayim. And he quotes the suggestion there that we don't mean Nevuah in the full sense, but we mean the internal Hadracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for Tzaddikim. That is Ke'en Nevuah. The Paris Yosef has a comment here that language of Lamor, that Yan Yosef is Paro Lamor, that Lamor is actually a reference to the word that Chazal interpreted in other contexts to refer to the prohibition of Arayos among Bnei Noach. And that the subtle connotation here is that Paro is saying to Yosef, you know, I've heard all kinds of things about you. I've heard that you're a brilliant interpreter of dreams, but I've also heard some things about Arayos. There's some story going around about Mrs. Potiphar. So I've heard things about you of all different types. And we know, as it says, nobody is as good or as bad as his reputation. And Yosef is responding, it's not me, that the bad things you hear aren't true. And the good things that you hear, that comes from God. That is his involvement in my life. And that's what he's getting at. So the pasuk continues, Vayidaber Paro el Yosef v'chalomi hineni omeir al tzvat sayor. Hineni omeir al tzvat sayor. The Soloveitchik in the drushas that were published after he passed away from the Otzer Harav, he discusses the symbolism here that he was standing on the bank of the river, that this has a representation of success, that here the king is standing over the whole river, and he is the master of his environment and of the situation. And Rav went on with the drasha here about how this was essentially the question he was confronting, that here we have taken over our environment, but that comes with risks. Maybe the environment will end up coming back at us. Maybe that's what the dream represents. And maybe it's not worth it. And Yosef's response is that it is worth it, but it has to be done, the chachma, and it has to be done with a concern for the people and sensitivity to the needs of everyone involved and with wisdom, and he's going to guide him in that. So this imagery of standing al tfas hayor is a part of what's keying us into that whole picture. Hirsch comments, though, that this is different than what actually happened in the dream, that the language in the dream as it's recounted in the first Aliyah is al hayor, which conveys that he was actually in the river. And so Paro, in his recounting it, is seeing it in a skewed way, which is a little bit a part of what causes the different interpretations. And the first has a whole discussion along those lines to explain that. So it relates to him, says, Vinei ben hayor, olo sheba paros frios fatar, bifos toar, vatirena ba'achu. Vinei sheba paros acheros olo sacharei, and dolos veros toar ma'od. So here, first you have these seven healthy cows. They come out, and they look good, and they go to graze. And then these seven very shvach cows, I've never seen such terrible cows. They are the worst cows I've ever seen. Then they come out. And here, these shvach cows, they eat shtar cows. Part of the point that Rav Hirsch points out when he notes the different descriptions is that Paro focuses very much on their physical appearance, on their beauty, fos toar, while the way it's really explained in the actual psukim, so the psukim that describes the actual dream in the first Aliyah, so it talks more about brios basar. It talks more about endokos basar. It talks more about their functionality and their value to humans. Are they able to provide valuable meat? And that's, again, a part of how they get the wrong impression, the chartamim. So they interpreted this as a reference to seven daughters who would marry and who he would bury. So that idea that they were kind of misled has to do with the way Paro relates the dream, which Yosef was able to figure out that there's more that Paro wasn't really conveying in a way that really got the whole message across. So the Tavona El Kibena, Tavona Da Kivo El Kibena, Marehen Ra Kasher B'Tzila Vayikas. So they were swallowed up inside of them, but you couldn't tell. They looked just as weak and they looked just as thin as they were before. And then I woke up. And then I saw, okay, 7 ears of corn all on one stalk, and they were very stark. And then you have these seven very shvach stalks, shvach ears rather. They came and they looked horrible. And what happened? But tivlana hashibalim hadakos, esheva hashibalim hatogos. Amar al Khartumin Zay Magadli. So I don't know what's going on here. And I told this to my Khartumim and they couldn't figure it out. And the Nitziv comments over here when he says the Ay Magadli, that he's also including this in the question, that he wants Yosef to explain how come they couldn't tell me what was going on. Don't just interpret the dream, but also explain to me why they weren't able to figure it out. And we said a little bit towards that with the Hirsch comments and the like, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe had an interesting drasha about this where he suggested that the reason all of these very smart advisors to Paro, they couldn't figure it out, is because if this is supposed to be two sets of 7 years. So why in the dream are they next to each other and they're interacting with each other? So it doesn't sound like you have two terms of time, one after the other. It sounds like you have things happening simultaneously. So maybe these were all daughters who were going to die, something along those lines. But what Yosef chaps, and this is really the key, is that one affects the other, that in the first 7 years you have to prepare for the next 7 years. So that interpretation was key, and that's what they were missing, the Chartamim. They couldn't figure out if it meant to be something one after the other, why is it being presented as something simultaneous. The Yomer Yosef called Paro Chalom Paro Echadu Eis Asher Ha'ulim Osa Higil Lefaro. So Osa Higil Lefaro. So here he's saying that it's one dream, which is essentially the Bob Shrabi's point, that you shouldn't see this as somehow contradicting the fact that they are two separate terms of time, but they all connect. It's all one process. And that's what you should understand. The Sheva Paros HaTovos, Sheva Shanim Heina, the Sheva HaShibolim HaTovos, Sheva Shanim Heina, Chalom Echadhu. So it's all one dream telling us about 7 good years, and 7 bad years. The Sheva HaParos HaRokos HaRoz HaOlos HaHarei, and the Sheva HaShanim Heina, the Sheva HaShibolim HaRekos Shidufos HaKadim, Yihu Sheva Shnei Rav. So first you're going to have the 7 good years that will be eaten up by the 7 bad years. Hu Adavar Shedibarti Aparo Asher HaElim Ose Hareh Es Paro. So what God is planning to do, he has displayed to Paro. So you're going to have these 7 good years, and then the 7 bad years are going to rise up. And Zayin Latorah, Uskarav notes that the idea of these years rising up, the language of Bakamu, it sounds like a rodeif, that it has this imagery of being attacked, and you should appreciate that that's what's going to happen, that there's going to be such an effect that these years going to erase the previous years. Lo yivada hasava ba'aretz mitnei harav hahu acharechen ki chaveihu mo. And no one's going to remember how good those years were before, because the famine is going to be so terrible. Ve'al hishonos ha'chalom el paro panayim. So the fact that the dream happened twice, so why do you need 2 dreams? So the idea of having 2 dreams is to convey that this is a serious nevuah. Serious nevuah meaning both that it's happening and that it's happening quickly. So you should be on top of this. V'yata yera faro ish navon v'chacham v'yishisehu al eretz Mitzrayim. So here you have to be prepared. You should seek out somebody who is both Navon and Chacham, and you shall place him over the land. So many of the Mefarshim struggle with this because there's perhaps a little bit of overstepping here, it sounds like, because Paro didn't call him and say, tell me what to do. Paro is the decider-in-chief. He's the one who's supposed to set a plan. He just wants to know the facts. So he's calling Yosef and asking for an interpretation of the dream. That's all his job is, to tell him what happened, to tell him what the dream describes. But to decide what to do, so who said that that's a part of the mission here? So the question all focused on this, the part of Yosef suggests that some of the imagery of the dream is meant to represent wisdom. So therefore he's saying that the dream itself is alerting you to the fact that you're supposed to have a plan, supposed to be something that you should be doing. And the Be'er Yosef, he suggests also that it has to do with the way the dreams happen and the way it's presented, because you have Paro waking up in between the 2 dreams. So he's asleep during the dreams, and then he wakes up in between. So what's the point of that? So he suggests that the idea of him being asleep throughout this all, which just is necessary for it to be conveyed through a dream, but the message that that practically represents is that as a king, he is going to be in the background, and he's going to appoint someone else who's going to be in the position of actually carrying out the mission, of actually carrying out the guidance and what needs to be done to provide, and that the king himself will be, so to speak, asleep. This will be a king in his sleep, but he will be passive, he'll be in the background. So he woke up in the middle, meaning that there'll be this action where he will have to be involved at the beginning in assigning this role and finding somebody to carry this out. But when it's being carried out, he himself will be, so to speak, asleep. He will be passive in that sense. But he has to find the right person. So he has to find somebody who is Navon v'chacham. And we know these words. These words are brought up all the time to describe the Jewish people and to describe the kind of leadership that we look for. And they represent different midos, the idea of bina and the idea of chachma. Chachma essentially is somebody who has learned a lot and who has amassed a lot of knowledge and a lot of information is a chacham. And a navon, to have a person who is possessed of bina, so bina is understanding and interpretation, lahavin, davar, mitoch, davar, and to be able to discern. Bina is Havdalah, the idea to be able to tell the difference between things. So these are two skills which are both important and they balance each other, because a person can have a lot of Chachma, but if he's not able to assess it and interpret it, so then that's not going to be very valuable. And on the other hand, you have those who are Bali Bina, who have a great understanding, but they don't focus so significantly on getting down the facts and getting down the knowledge that they have to interpret. And either one without the other is not really going to be sufficient for leadership, the point that the first talks about in the Pesukim, and it's an idea that we find again and again. So in the Torah, these notions of Chachma and Bina are put together as necessary counterbalances to each other. And also we know, for example, the Gemara raises the question, when you're appointing the Rosh Yeshiva, so what kind of Rosh Yeshiva do you want? Do you want somebody who is, as the Gemara calls it, a Sinai, somebody who knows all the information, like our Sinai, where the Torah is given, he has all the facts, or somebody who is an Oker Harim, somebody who is able to analyze it with tremendous insight? And whatever the conclusion is in the Gemara, whatever the discussion is in the generations afterwards, but the point is highlighted that you have here different skill sets, which one without the other is not really going to serve the community so perfectly. So to be able to harmonize is very crucial. So here, this is a part of the point that Yosef is bringing up, that you need to find somebody who is both Chacham and Navon. So what's interesting here is that, so he continues to give him this instruction, so Yat Efaro, V'yafkei Tekidim al Haaretz, V'chimesh Eretz Mitzrayim, V'shevesh Nehasava. So you should set up a system of people who are in charge, and you should impose a tax of one-fifth in order to have enough of a storehouse. I've heard the comments here also that it's interesting. It says you have these people who are going to be in charge, and the tax is not the same people, because if you need to have a good rapport with the people, you need to have a relationship that they're going to consider positive, so it's hard to also be the person who's issuing the tax. Reality of life. Vayikvisu es kol ochel hashanim hatavos habaos ha'ila vayitzkru var tachas yadparo ochel v'arim shavaro. So hold on to all this food that you're able to preserve and put it in stockpiles. V'haya ha'ochel v'sikadol v'aretz v'shavish neharav asher tiena be'eretz v'drayim v'lo sikareis ha'aretz v'rav. So you'll be able to have for these difficult years, and the land is not going to be destroyed through the wrath, and that will be able to provide. V'yitav ha'davar v'enei faro v'enei chalavadav. So here, the matter was settled, the matter was pleasing, they thought it was good. So the people were happy with it, and Paro was happy with it. So it's an interesting question the Farshim talked about also, that how did he know? So he doesn't know the future beyond his dream. So he got different interpretations. This is clearly a better interpretation in terms of what somebody would want and what the Chachamim were telling him. But still, how does he know what's true and what's not true? Why does he decide that this is good? So there are various suggestions. Some of the Rishonim talk about a tradition that his body basically fell apart and then it came back together again when he heard this dream, we heard this interpretation. And also on a more pashut level, that a person has a certain yishuv hadas that comes from hearing something that resonates and hearing something that makes sense, to say mikarim divrei emes. People are able to recognize when something that's related to them is true, and that has an impact. And then the pasuk concludes the aliyah by telling us how impressed the Paro was. The Yomer Paro Alavadav Hanimso Chazeh Isha Sher Ruach Elokim Bo. So have you ever seen anybody like this? Somebody who has the Spirit of God in him. Now this is very significant on a lot of levels. Clearly, historically, this is important that Yosef is able to rise to this position. But what's interesting, and which is something that we don't think about a little bit, we don't think about so much, is that this reflects very positively on Paro, that it doesn't matter how good you are, people are not going to be impressed with you unless they're able to respond and to recognize what good is. So the fact that Yosef was so qualified and was so impressive could have fallen on deaf ears with somebody else. So we see here that Paro was somebody who was able to appreciate this, and there's a long drash about this in the Sefer Son Derech of the Simchus HaSabroi, and something that others point out as well, that we see that Paro was a spiritually sensitive person who was able to recognize these kochos and to appreciate them, which is very interesting. We see that here he takes this slave boy out of the pit and puts him in such a position of power and influence. You have to be somebody who really has a certain awareness. You know, the Mishnah says that, the Pasuk says, and Ben Yonah has in his commentary to Mishlei, to Pirkei Avos, that the idea that we say, v'ish l'fi mahalo, that a person, each according to his praise, and Ben Yonah explains that it doesn't mean that you know somebody based on how they are praised, because we all know that that can be very misleading, that a lot of people are praised and they don't deserve it, and they get a lot of adulation that doesn't really fit, and the world is filled with unsung heroes, with people who are truly of great character and even accomplishment, and nobody ever knows or talks about them. So when you say, ish l'fi mahalo, can't mean that you can recognize a person based on what other people say about him. And so Ben Yonah explains that the message is Adam Nikr Lefi Mashahum Nahalel, that a person can be recognized based on that which he praises and that which he acknowledges as good. And that if you want to know the real measure of a person, it's not necessarily from their accomplishments, even though you might think, well, isn't that the best way to judge someone? That actually it may not necessarily be the best way, because people haven't yet risen to their potential and they don't necessarily always have all the opportunities. But who they admire and whose picture is up on their wall can say much more about them than where they're actually holding at this moment. So the ability to look up to somebody who deserves to be looked up to is itself something which deserves a lot of credit. So the fact that Paro was able to recognize this says something about him. And it doesn't sound at all like the Paro we're going to read about in a few weeks in Sefer Shmos. So we know that it's Machlokes in Chazal about whether it was the same Paro or not, the Yochum Melech Chadash, was this a new king literally, a different Paro? We know Paro was the name for all the kings, so it doesn't tell us one thing or another. Calling him Paro doesn't tell us which Paro it was. So one attitude in Chazal was that the Paro of the Shibud was a different Paro, and the other attitude is that it was the same Paro. So reading their personalities It seems very much like different people. It was very much like different attitudes completely. The Paro who talks to Moshe has no appreciation of God and has no awareness of what it means to be a spiritual person. And the Paro who talks to Yosef certainly seems like someone very different. But there is this attitude in Chazal that they were the same. And Bali Atosis in Shmos quotes the idea that this was indeed the same Paro who interacts with Moshe, and that he didn't want to fight with the Jews at first. And the people kind of rose up and pressured him, and they dethroned him for 3 months and made it clear that he had to bend to their will. And he came back a different person. He came back somebody with a very different set of attitudes, which is itself very striking. But here we find that he is somebody who is able to appreciate wisdom and spirituality. And in the Sefer Das Shlomo, the contemporary Sefer on Chumash, he talks about this whole unusual situation here where this slave boy is able to say something, first to be invited to talk in the first place, but able to say something which impresses so powerfully upon the king of Egypt, and also all of his advisors, as the Pasuk says also, that all the people around him were equally impressed. And the fact that Yosef himself wasn't intimidated, he was able to speak the way he did, is all astounding. Everything is astounding that Yosef was able to talk, that Paro was able to listen, and that it wasn't just Paro, even if we say that he was unusually spiritually sensitive, but the fact that the people around him also took the message is all very striking. And he discusses there, the Das Shlomo, how Yosef perceived here a expression of the Nevuah, that the Jewish people would have this whole destiny which would involve them going through Mitzrayim. And he understood that this is a step in this whole process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan that he told his ancestors, he told Yosef's ancestors. And because of his emunah, so therefore that created a confidence in him to be able to convey that which he saw. Now, we find both here, because this is a more rational type of intelligence and a more conventional type of intelligence in terms of how he recognizes it as a part of that whole nevuah, but it's emunah and the overall nevuah that had been promised to the Jewish people. So him appreciating that this was all a part of that context, so that allowed him to speak with this confidence and to transmit that to Paro. So Paro was able to see that there was something extraordinary that was being told to him, and the whole room saw it. Everyone got that message. And the idea, this Chacham and Navon that Yosef was describing, and that really being perceived as a reference to him himself. So Soloveitchik also in these drushes, he commented how in order to be a Chacham and a Navon, along the lines of the first thing also, is that you need both imagination, so that's where the Bina comes from, to be able to see what isn't yet there, and the implementation, the practical sense, to know how to put it into effect. Those combination of skills is an important mix, and that's what Yosef was conveying here, that Paro was able to appreciate. It's also interesting, as some point out, that this whole plan of how to cope with the years of famine, especially if you know that this is the way it's going to play out, that you'll have 7 stark years and then 7 weak years. So it's not the hardest thing to come up with in terms of financial planning to understand, okay, so let's save from the years of bounty so that we will be well prepared for the years of famine. Intellectually, it's not the hardest thing. But in terms of implementation, in terms of discipline, so as we all know, it becomes much more difficult to actually prepare for the future and to live beyond the moment. And that is part of the essence of Chachma, to be able to think long term, and not just in terms of figuring out what it's going to take, but to actually be able to have the strength of character and discipline to be able to implement that. So in a very real sense, that plugs into what Chachma is, not just to be able to figure out the facts, but to be able to bring to bear the plan to make it real. And that's, you know, the psychology that has been devoted towards this, you know, the marshmallow test, the recognition that was carried out in Stanford University a few decades ago, that when young children were told that if they could wait before eating a marshmallow that was in front of them, they'd get two marshmallows, that the ability to delay gratification and to recognize that you're going to have to deal with the consequences down the line, and that you'll be better off if you can do that, if you can keep that in mind and not think only in the moment, was correlated with all kinds of aspects of success. And it's also been more recently looked at that the more people can see themselves in the future, not necessarily through supernatural means, but just they can relate to their future selves and understand that who they will be 10, 20, 30 years from now is also them, and they also have to care about, has a tremendous correlation on the ability to plan for the future and to feel a connection to where you will be at some date down the line, has an impact on being able to be prepared for it, and that itself is the skill. That itself is an aspect of Chachma that Paro recognizes within Yosef, and that is a part of the whole plan here. So just end off by noting that we talk about wisdom, we talk about Chachma, so this Shabbos is no longer Hanukkah, which is actually good in a sense, because much as we love Hanukkah and we cherish every minute of it, but it's rare that you have Parshas Miketz without Hanukkah. It's about every 10 years or so. So the Haftorah for Parshas Miketz doesn't get read so often. So it's a special opportunity to read the Haftorah for Miketz, as much as we'll miss Hanukkah, but you can bask in the glow of Hanukkah right up until Shabbos, and then enjoy the Haftorah for Parshas Miketz, which, even though we don't get to read it in Shul that often, but it's a famous story. It's the story of Shlomo and the babies. So the whole idea of Chachma, how Shlomo represents that, and some of the complexities of that story are a fascinating place to look in terms of understanding what Chachma is. And this year we're working on Sheni, but 2 years ago we talked about the Haftorahs. Happened to be, we weren't reading the Haftorah of Miketz, but he did talk about that in a shiur 2 years ago. So, Gwinetter, I'll send you out a link to that recording if you want to focus a little bit on this rare opportunity to study the Haftorah. That is also a potential Chachma that we have to ponder the Shabbos. So a lot of wisdom to think about the Shabbos, a lot of Bina, we're described in Mo's Tzur. One more Mo's Tzur tonight. We're described in Mo's Tzur as B'nai Bina, as people who are able to carry on a tradition of understanding. And Bina builds upon Chachma, so we can read about a lot of Chachma the Shabbos, the Chachma of Yosef and the Chachma of Shlomo. And one of our many mottos here in Yeshiva University, at least, has been bring wisdom to life. So we are committed to continuously looking for wisdom and making it real, making it live in our day-to-day existence. So that's something that we can continue to reflect upon as Hanukkah moves over to Parshas Miketz. So it should be a very meaningful last day of Hanukkah and Shabbos for us. And I look forward to seeing you afterwards. Frelich and Hanukkah, and a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you.